this morning. If you've got a Bible, or if you've got the Innovation Church app, you can go into the sermon notes and you'll see the scriptures in there, or we'll have them here on the big old karaoke machine behind me. But we're going to start off in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And so we're going to be in there and jump into that. But as we get started, I know there's a lot of things that are going on in our city, right? There are judges, right, that are being greeted at their front door by a gun, right? That is not what we love to see in our city. Even last night, there was somebody that was right here in our parking lot trying to flee from the cops. And so there's been a lot of action already taking place here at Innovation since early in the morning. Now, we could all see our city. We could all see whether it be stuff going on in the schools, stuff going on in the neighborhoods, and we could say, oh no, that's our city, and it's just going to pot, and it's just going crazy, and we could do that, or we could even get super spiritual about it, and we're just going to pray for our city, and we're just going to believe, and there, we could go into all of that, but how many times has that happened, right? How many times have we prayed for our city? Right, we can. I see some nods and heads shaking, and we've prayed over it for years. We've seen good and bad happen in our city. We've even sung about. Craig was going through like the revival songs that we've sung even in this place, right? And singing about God of our city and God send revival, and that is very true, and that happens all the time, and we sing those songs. But we never really talk about what revival is and what it means, and what it means both biblically, but also what it means in our hearts and in our lives. We can always pray, God change our city, God change our schools, God change our family, God change our nation, but what's our part in all of this? Because many times we can pass the buck and we can say, God change it, and nothing ever changes in us. Because really, what if the problem isn't God moving, right? Could the problem not be that God isn't moving? What if the problem is that we aren't? Oh, when it's change our families, are we the one leading them? When it's change our schools, are we the ones willing to go into them, right? Or is it God change our city when we stay as far away from it as possible? See, we Christians for decades, for centuries, have loved the idea of revival. They prayed for revival. We sing about it. But revival doesn't start with louder worship songs or even longer prayers. I believe revival starts with surrendered people. And so today, God is going to confront us with what's just a simple challenge of truth, that if we're not willing to change, then why would we expect God to change our city? Why would we expect things to get any different, right? To get better. And so the scriptural foundation I already told you is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And let's look, it's one of the most quoted verses about revival, but also very misunderstood because it says, then if my people, that would be us, right? Those that are claiming to follow after Jesus, right? Follow in his footsteps. He said, you are my brothers, you are my sisters, right? We are all a part of this my people statement that we're reading here. It says, then if my people who are called by my name, that's how we got the name Christians, right? The early Christians were called Christians because they were so Christ-like, right? It was more of a derogatory term, right? They were the ones that were like Jesus, and so they gave them a nickname. They were given that name. Maybe you've got other nicknames of things that you've been like, and maybe they can or can't be mentioned in church, but I don't know. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, oh. See, we like to focus on other parts of this verse. But we have to realize that they come in order. And it says, the called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and restore their land. We love the last part, right? We love that. Forgiving of sins. Yes. All right. I'm lining up. I got some of those, right? I got some of those. Plenty of those that need forgiveness. Restore their land. Yep. We've got a beaten up land, and we want that restored, especially by God. But this verse is powerful. It says something very important, that God doesn't start with the city. He's not pointing his finger at the city. He's not pointing his finger at the nation. He starts with his people. And that's where we have to start in this series, is with God's people, not politicians. There's a laundry list of them. And there's new things and old things all coming out every single day. God doesn't start there. Doesn't start with culture. He doesn't start with outsiders. He says, if my people. What if revival is not God responding to how bad the world is, but revival is God responding to how surrendered his people are? And what does that look like? What does a surrendered life look like? And so we're going to slow down and define revival, though, because churches throw that word around, and there's plenty that we don't understand. It's not a big emotional service where there's just tears, and they're just crying, and the wood is just soaked with tears and snot, and that's not a revival. Like your snot is not revival. I'm just telling you, it's not. Revival... it's not big emotional services. It's not a jam-packed altar. It's not just people all on the altar. It's not famous speakers. We've had those. That's great, but it's not famous speakers. It's not goosebumps, like those little things that like pop up. Oh, I just feel the revival happen. No, that's the air conditioner turned on, right? And somebody hit that high note, and that was great and all, but that's not revival. It's not long worship moments. I love those, and I love getting lost in those, and worship nights, and times to just respond and thank God for who he is, but that's not revival. Revival is God responding to how surrendered his people are. See, a sovereign move of God that begins with deep repentance, renewed holiness, restored obedience among God's people. That results in transformed lives. That's what results in transformed communities. Because people see the change that has happened in us. The addictions that have broken free from us. The change that once held us down that no longer hold us. They say, well, how did that happen with you? Right? They see in us something that they don't see anywhere else. And it's not because we're trying to shove it down their throat, by the way. It's because we're living our lives as changed individuals, as transformed individuals. Revival is not God doing something new. Revival is God restoring what his people abandoned. Restoring what was lost. Redeeming what was lost. What's been distracted, what's been in idle hands. See, every major revival, this revival isn't new, and I'm mainly talking about even ones here in America. The first one was the first Great Awakening. I don't think anybody was here at that time. It was around the 1730s to 1740s time frame. America was spiritually dry. I don't know if you've ever heard of America being like that before. Church attendance was low. Faith had become a routine, but what changed is people repented for that. Homes became prayer rooms. Living rooms became gathering points. We like to call them connect groups of people learning and growing and changing and iron sharpening iron. Lives become surrendered. And a movement breaks out as people serve and people give of their time, their talent, their treasure so that others can hear, so that others can change, so that ages and every stage can be impacted by what God wants to do, not just in them, but also through them. The very first one, the result was crime dropped everywhere. Churches were filled and culture began to shift. I don't know if anybody would think that that needs to happen right now, but I would probably lean towards that. In 1904, anybody remember? No, okay. All right. In 1904, there was one called the Welsh Revival. It didn't start in a church service. It actually started with simple young men praying, God, bend me. That prayer was a prayer that shut down bars. It emptied out prisons, and it changed an entire nation. But just like we see all the time, if you're on any of the Bible reading plans and you're walking through, whether it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, like it's in every single book. People begin to follow God, and then they turn away. And they begin to follow God, and then they say, ooh, something shiny, right? They begin to follow God, and then they get distracted. They get busy. They want to try it their way. They want to have their own king. They want to put all their trust in a president instead of in a God. Oh. I don't know if that was biblical. Maybe that's just a modern-day king, right? The Welsh Revival. That's why when I hear, guys, we've got some amazing young men that are in this church. Some that even when, like when Wednesday night services begin to stop and only happen once a month for our teenagers, they said, you know what, we don't want to stop. And gathering weekly with pizza, of course, and praying and opening up their Bible in a Pizza King and just seeking God's face and saying, what does this say to you? What does this say to me? How do we live this way? The Ashbury Revival, both in 1970 and again in 2023. There was no famous names. There was no marketing. It was just simple, a service that at the end of service, people flooded the altars and just began to start repenting of their sins, confessing their sins, changing their ways, and it didn't stop. Obedience. Transformation. Revivals never started with God changing culture. It always starts with God changing people. And so if we're looking around and saying, where are we at as a culture, or this is where our city is, could it be that we're stuck? That we ourselves are stuck in the pain, stuck in the anger, stuck in the bitterness, stuck in the sin that we're living in. Sorry if this isn't the touchy-feely service that you came for this morning. But it's the things that we keep around as we pray for God to move and protect the things that He's asking us to surrender. We can pray, God, change our marriage, but we won't change our habits. Right? We're really praying for, God, you need to change her. God, you need to change him. What if he's wanting to do it through you and your stubbornness being laid aside? God, heal my anxiety, but we won't release control. We say, it's mine. We identify with it. Like, we take on the label, and it's like, it could become Johnny Anxiety Smith, right? Like, it is, or sometimes it's Anxiety Johnny Smith, right? And sometimes, like, some doctors are being like, hey, maybe the 3 pots of coffee first thing in the morning isn't the best for your anxiety right now. Sorry, I got to back up from that one, right? People clearing their throat on the pastor. You got to stop going there. I'm going to talk about my caffeine addiction. We'll pray God revive our church, but we're not going to repent personally. Decide to serve both in our church and outside of our church. Oh, we'll leave that up to somebody else. Somebody else will come and build the awesome, amazing drum kit, right? Somebody else will come and hang TVs. Somebody else will come and minister to our kids, right? Our kids are crazy. Drop them off here. Somebody fix them, right? Well, while somebody else is working on yours, why don't you help work on somebody else's? because there's some dirty diapers back there. Right? It's saying, you know what? It takes us all giving of ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14 gives us those conditions to humble ourselves, right? We're not above anybody else. To pray, to seek His face, and to turn from our ways. If my people would just do these things, I'll heal their land. I'll heal their city. But it says, then and only then I will hear and I will forgive and I will heal. Revival doesn't come on proud people's shoulders, right? They don't have time for that, right? They've got an agenda. They've got a schedule that they've got to stick to. Revival doesn't come to comfortable people. Oh, well, you know, I'm just fine where I'm at. I'm all right. You are. But is that where God wants you to be? Revival simply comes to surrendered people. See, we love gathering corporately as a church, gathering together and seeing one another. But God is after our personal repentance. Us surrender to Him, not trying to outsource revival, not trying to grab it at a concert. You can't inherit surrender. You can't pray around obedience, right? We'll pray for addictions to stop, but we won't replace them with anything beneficial. What if we stop waiting for revival and start living like we want one? Because revival isn't coming. It's calling. It's calling us to humble ourselves, to seek His face, to pray, to repent, to turn from our wicked ways. And that's something that everybody's hearing in this building today, not just in this room. And you're like, good, because my kids have some wicked ways. Right? They do. We all do. But will we own them? Will we repent from them? Will we surrender to God from then and turn? Today we're going to respond not just with words though, but with communion. We love to do this on the first Sunday of every month of just remembering and taking these elements. And so we're going to distribute these elements here along the sides, and if you want to grab one. But what we have here is not your typical styrofoam cracker. Thank you, Angela. But what we have is the ultimate surrender. We have the surrender that's been done for you, the surrender that's been done for me, that's been done for each of us, right? And you may be saying, you know what, I'm in here and I don't know if surrender's been done for me. It has. Jesus paid the ultimate price, paid a sinner's death, got nailed to a cross for you just as much as He did for me. His blood was shed for you. His body was broken for you. And this bread reminds us of Jesus' body, right? And the cup reminds us of His blood that was poured out for us. And communion asks one simple question. Is there anything in me that's not fully surrendered? Scripture actually talks about not taking communion lightly. And so even before we take the bread and the cup, maybe we ask God, are there areas that I'm holding back? Areas that I'm not surrendered to You? Areas that I've said, God, I want You out of this portion of my life because I want to do my own thing. That's not a great way to come at a communion table. If there's bitterness, if there's unforgiveness, if there's envy, can we simply lay that down? So today, I'm not asking for 10 things. I'm not asking for somebody else's sin. I'm asking for ours. And if we would take that moment, because Jesus remembers His sacrifice for us, and today we remember it as well. And today, we take these moments seriously and thank Him. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, as we come together as a church right now, as we hold these elements, as we hold what represents your body being broken for us, your blood being shed for us, God, we recognize the complete surrender, the complete humility that you have for us. And we don't want to take that for granted. But God, you're asking that same thing for us, from us. Jesus, we remember your sacrifice. We remember the price that you paid. And today, we don't want to just receive your grace. We want to respond with surrender. So God, as we come together today, we pray this prayer. God, may we come to you without pretending. God, we gather here and we admit that we've prayed to you to move while resisting change ourselves. God, we humble ourselves today. And we confess the areas that we've kept off limits. The habits that we've justified. The obedience that we've delayed. And right now, God, we surrender the thing that you've been asking us to lay down. Not halfway, not later, but fully. God, create in us clean hearts. Renew the right kind of spirit within us. Teach us to walk daily in obedience to you. God, we don't want you to just revive our church. We're asking that you would revive us. That you would start here, that you would start now, that you would start with me. Today, as we hold these elements, God, I want to speak just for a moment, as maybe you're here and you've been listening and you've realized something. Maybe you've realized that you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. Or maybe you've walked away from him and it's time for a rededication to him. Yeah, you've prayed prayers, you've gone to church, you've tried to be a good person, but today you're realizing that revival doesn't start with just fixing a behavior. But it starts with surrendering your heart. See, Jesus didn't come to improve your life. He came to give you a new one. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. So if you're here, you're ready to stop living life your way, to start living a life surrendered to Jesus, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Church, would you pray it with those that are praying it, maybe for the first time, or maybe coming back to Jesus? You don't have to have the words all perfect, but God is looking at your heart. Would you cry out to him? Simply repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I admit that I need you. I've been living life my own way, and today I choose to surrender. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And that you rose again so I could have new life. Today I ask you to forgive me. To cleanse me. And to make me new. Today I give you my life. Not halfway. Not later. But fully. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, church, as we come together as one body, remember the ultimate surrender that was given for us. Let's partake of this communion together. Let's take the body.
Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken for us. God, we know it's not just about us, though. Your body was broken for this world, and your heart still is. The fact that you haven't been back shows us that. God, we're coming to you, praying for revival. God, may our hearts break for the things that we've been caught up in, the times we walk away from you. God, we're asking you today to break us. From our ways. God, I pray that we would never pray for you to heal our land without us breaking first. Do a work in us that only you can do. Today we have this cup that represents Jesus' blood poured out for our sins, to cover them, to wash them away, so that we don't turn back to them, so that we don't continue them, so that we don't say, you know what, we'll take communion again next month. No, that's not the case. We take this cup and remember the ultimate price that was paid. I read this morning in Mark where all the disciples are, Jesus, I want to sit next to you in heaven, right? And he's like, okay, and then go through the suffering that I'm going to suffer. Live the life that I'm going to live. Many times, we want the glory just like the disciples. We want the positions just like the disciples. And we want the closeness that they wanted to Jesus. But we're unwilling to pay the price. As we drink this, let's recognize the ultimate price that was paid for us, but then examine our hearts of what price he's asking us to pay. Because if we're praying for revival, if we're praying for God to move both in us and through us to impact our city, to impact the nation, it's going to take some sacrifice on our part as well. Let's partake. You know, salvation isn't just a moment. It's a posture. Whether you prayed that prayer, whether you rededicated your life, there's a song the band's about to come up and play, and it's called I Surrender. I don't know if they're going to work in I Surrender All, for those of you that know that song, but it would be cool if they did. But We flipped up the script a little bit on worship because I wanted us to respond to the word. The word that God brings and challenges us with, what will we do with it? And so the words say, I surrender. And surrender doesn't mean just some. It doesn't mean later. It doesn't mean when it's convenient. But as we sing this, maybe it's time to open your hands, to open your hearts. Some of you remember when you surrendered before, right? Maybe it's time to physically say, God, I'm done holding on. And you know what the this is. You know the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the anger, the frustration, the anxiety, the diagnosis that you've been owning. God's never said it was yours. So if you prayed either one of those prayers, if you were able to agree with one of those today, may this song be an act of obedience. Have you been following Jesus for years? And the song could be a recalibration
that's more than just music. Let it be your yes today. Yes, God, I surrender. Because revival isn't something that we're waiting for. Around here, it's something I hope that we're preparing for. That we don't just pray for revival, that we're serving like we want one to happen. Not just in us, but also through us. Throughout this series, there's going to be clipboards that come across even your hands. Because we continually see, and I don't know if you've seen it, but we got to celebrate this Wednesday, this annual report. And there's a big, long letter because there's this pastor guy that uses too many words. But over here we see 19 kids going to kids camp. That's the most we've ever taken. We've seen 182 kids attend our services. 58 youth being involved and engaged with Jesus. We've seen 37 recorded salvations and 32 baptisms just last year. We're praying to see double that this year. Double that happens when we get out of our comfort zones. We humble ourselves, not thinking we're better than that neighbor that voted differently than us, but we go get to know them. And we invite them to this place that we go to on Sunday mornings. We got a fun series coming up after this one. It's called You Got a Friend in Me. Teaching you guys how to make friends, how to be good friends. Look into God's Word. And it's not just social media. That's not how many friends you have. I promise you, you don't have 2,000. It is not there. But one of the things that we've seen, you know, everybody's year was kind of like this in COVID, right? And church attendance dropped like crazy. And still there's plenty of churches that haven't rebounded. But we have. And those jumps are getting bigger and bigger every year. And we've been running out of room around here for those jumps. Not quite last week when Snowmageddon was here, but the week prior to that, pre-K was too full. Upstairs was too full. That's why we've even split up our junior high and senior high, that senior high meets in the first service now over in Breakfast Club, and then junior high is going to meet during the second service. But this room, once this room hits between 100 and 125, that means we have too many kids because we got a lot of fertile myrtles in here. It's a good thing. Be fruitful and multiply. I love applying that verse. But that's a great thing that's happening, and it's a great problem to have. But as we move into March of this year, we're saying, you know what? Instead of two services, what does it look like if we have three? What if we continue to make room for those that are coming and wanting to hear some good news in a world where it's full of bad? And that are wanting to do exactly what that verse says. And we're tired of seeing them drive in and drive out. And so this week we're going to pray for some snow to melt so we can find parking spots again. But we're also going to start doing more than just praying for revival to happen. We're going to say, let's step up and serve. So there's going to be opportunities, like I said, as soon as you walk out of here and right to the left, to say, you know what? It may be uncomfortable for me to come in and be surrounded by toddlers. Well, then if it's toddlers, then go by the elementary kids. Or if it's elementary kids that's uncomfortable, well, go by some high schoolers. They're really weird. No, they'll really help you feel uncomfortable. Or if it's just greeting people and saying hi and welcoming, it takes us all jumping in and serving to help others feel loved, to feel known, to feel like this is their place. So this series is not just about praying for revival. It's about jumping in like you actually want one to happen, because it takes us all using our gifts, using our talents. We actually have a whole thing called Next Steps that happens at 12:30 today that you can find out what your next step is here at Innovation. Find out more about knowing God, knowing innovation, and knowing yourself. But as we close off today, this song, I Surrender, you know what it is. It's probably been carried around for decades. What you need to surrender to God, what you need to submit to Him. And maybe it is that time, maybe it's that talent, maybe it's that treasure.